fallout over Tulsi Gabbard continues today. So we're going to talk about that as the show goes on today. And the president has signed an executive order, a series of them, on artificial intelligence, including making sure that AI is not woke. Okay, that AI is not woke. And that's important because we can't have AI be woke. And you know something else, too? So the company that's buying CBS, they put out a thing today ending all their DEI initiatives. All the DEI initiatives, once that merger is complete, they're out the window. But you've heard a lot about Stephen Colbert whining that his getting fired by CBS was some sort of revenge or to protect the president or something like this. What you have not heard much about is that they paid $1.5 billion, same company, $1.5 billion with a B, for the rights to the show South Park. South Park is a very funny adult animated show. I'm sure you're probably familiar with it. Kind of feel like I grew up with that show, too. And by the way, the president is touring the Federal Reserve right now. If he speaks, we will jump in and bring it to you live so you won't miss it. South Park, well, actually, the president is speaking. So why don't we jump in here and take a listen what the president has to say here. We can do
Sorry,
that.
I'm pulling it up right now.
He's meeting with...
they didn't exist or expanding them, and a lot of very expensive work. There's no question about it. And Tim has been with me for a long time, and
yes,
you're
sir.
In charge of the committee.
Indeed. One of the reasons I wanted to see it was the overruns of the expenses. One
Senator
to
Tim
figure
Scott
out
with him.
Why.
Yeah. So we're taking a look.
Chairman Jerome Powell.
It looks like it's about $3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot. So the 2.7 is now 3.1.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, I haven't heard that from anybody at the Fed.
Yeah, it just came out.
So he's disagreeing with the president, shaking his head to what the president just said.
About 3.1 as well.
3.1.
3.2. This came from us?
Yes. I don't know who does that.
You're including the Martin renovation. You just added
our entire capital.
You just added in a third building. Is what that is. That's a third building.
Well, no, but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
But
so
it's not new.
So we're going to take a look. We're going to see what's happening.
So, okay.
And it's got a long way. Do you expect any more additional cost overruns?
Don't expect them. We're ready for them. But we have a little bit of a reserve that we may use. But no, we don't. We expect to be finished in 2027. We're well along, as you can see.
Nice to take these off every once in a while when we're not under too much danger. So, any questions?
Mr. President, does the issue give you any?
As a real estate developer, what would you do with a project manager who would be over budget?
Generally speaking, what would I do? I'd fire him.
Do you think this issue, Mr. President, gives you cause to do that?
Well, I'm here just really with the chairman. He's showing us around, showing us the work. And so I don't want to get that. I don't want to be personal. I just would like to see it get finished. And in many ways, it's too bad it started. But it did start. And it's been under construction for a long time. It's going to be a real long time. Because it looks
Federal
like it's got a long
building.
Way to go.
Yes, sir.
So,
President, are there things the chairman can say to you today that would make you back off some of the earlier criticism?
Well, I'd love him to lower interest rates. Other than that, what can I tell you? The country is doing really well. I just briefed the chairman on the deal we made with Japan. Japan is putting up $550 billion in order to lower their tariffs a little bit. That way they have a little bit lower tariff. And they also opened their country to free trade, which nobody thought was even a possibility. And we get a zero tariff in the free trade. We don't pay tariffs. And they're going to pay 15% on everything they send into our country. So it's great. But they put up, as you could call it, seed money. Let's call it seed money. You could call it anything you want. But it's a total of $550 billion. So nobody thought any of that was possible, and it's wonderful. And we're doing pretty well with the European Union, likewise. And we have some others. They're all really big, and our country's going to make a lot of money. We would be helped if interest rates would come down, but we're going to see how the board rules on that soon. I'd love to see them come down a lot. But we have a country that's thriving. We had a dead country 1 year ago. Today we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. And we'll get this one finished.
Mr. President, you said your own policy on school.
Okay, that's the president wrapping up there. Jerome Powell looked miserable there, the chairman of the Fed, and they're touring the new Federal Reserve headquarters that they're building, and there was a disagreement between the president and the chairman over the cost of the overruns, and the Fed chair was disagreeing with the president. I was expecting Trump to fire him on the spot right there, but didn't happen. He may. I mean, that was the rumor earlier in the week that he was going to fire Powell, and he still may. He may. But the interest rate issue, it's a big deal. We should lower interest rates. I for one, would love that. I think there's a lot of people that want to refinance their mortgages. I'm one of them. A lot of people who are looking to buy a house for the first time would love interest rates to come down so that they can be able to afford them. This is something that Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Scott Turner was talking about earlier, which is that we need interest rates to come down so that people can afford to buy housing and take out a mortgage, especially first-time homebuyers as well. And the president has signed an executive order. Let me put my glasses on here for this, on homelessness and urban disorder. Let me share this with you. This just came out a short time ago. Let's see here. President Trump signed an executive order aimed at addressing what he describes as a homelessness and public safety crisis in U.S. cities. The order focuses on increasing civil commitment for homeless individuals with mental illness or addiction, cracking down on urban vagrancy and redirecting federal resources away from programs like Housing First and Safe Consumption Sites. Key elements include tackle what the order calls endemic vagrancy, disorderly behavior, and violent attacks. Expand institutional treatment and civil commitment of individuals with mental illness or addiction who pose a public risk or cannot care for themselves. Prioritize federal grants to states and cities that enforce laws against public drug use, loitering, squatting, and urban camping. Urban camping is a thing when homeless people literally just camp on the streets at night. Redirect funding away from harm reduction and Housing First programs toward mandatory treatment, mental health courts, and drug courts. Require more oversight and data sharing from federally funded homelessness programs, particularly those permitting drug use or housing sex offenders. There's also protections in the executive order for women and children protections. Allow programs to exclude sex offenders and prioritize housing for women and children. One thing that I love is that at no point in this executive order does he refer to the people as the unhoused. One of the stupid politically correct terms the left came up with, the unhoused, like the undead, like Pelosi, for example, the unhoused, you're homeless, the homeless. You used to say homeless and it was never a big deal. And then suddenly it became unhoused and homeless became politically incorrect. And I don't know why. I never understood that. Unhoused doesn't sound any better. But either way, you don't have a house. Whether you're homeless or you're unhoused, It's stupid, but again, that's what the language police on the left always do. They come with these stupid phrases, and then they mandate that everybody has to say it. I never did. I thought it was dumb. They did it, but they choose what's politically correct and what isn't. Like, for example, with COVID, remember, it was politically correct to say the virus came from some guy in Wuhan whose eating habits were so filthy and disgusting and dirty that he ate a raw freaking bat and started a global pandemic. That was the politically correct thing to say, but it was politically incorrect and racist to suggest the virus came from a laboratory because a scientist may or may not have inadvertently or intentionally allowed that virus to escape from the lab. No, that was racist to suggest that it somehow may have come from a laboratory, but to suggest that some dude in Wuhan the people there are so filthy and backwards and disgusting that they order bat burgers and don't even have the audacity to order them medium. And most chefs would recommend medium. Medium well really ruins the taste of the bat, in my opinion. But, you know, undercooked bat burgers, side of pangolin fries, raccoon dog aioli, didn't wash his hands, disgusting. And then shook hands with other people that don't wash their hands, those filthy Wuhan people and their filthy eating habits of raw bats. And that's why we had a global pandemic. That was, believe it or not, the politically correct thing to say. And it was crazy to me. I never understood that. But to suggest that a scientist may have somehow accidentally walked out with the virus at the bottom of his shoe because he didn't take the proper safety precautions or something, that was racist. I never in my mind understood that, but that was because, again, the left controls the narrative always. And so if they convince you to say something's racist, then people stop saying it. So all they had to do was when the Chinese ambassador to the United States sat down with Margaret Brennan on CBS News in February of 2020 and said it was racist to suggest it came from a lab, the corporate mainstream media and at the time social media did their thing and said, that's racist. Got to say it came from the filthy eating disgusting people in Wuhan and their filthy eating habits at their wet markets. So that's what everybody said. And NPR went out there and said that, and PBS, and the debunked lab theory, just like that, because they had to protect Fauci and Collins and all the other gain-of-function people who created the virus. So that's part of what they do to get you to change a subject. They just call the one thing racist. So when we talk about the homeless crisis in America, we know that so much of it's driven by mental illness and drug abuse, which is also driven by mental illness. I mean, I think there's a correlation there. I think people who are mentally ill are trying to self-medicate. I think using drugs to a large degree makes you mentally ill. I mean, there's obviously a lot of correlations there. So people don't choose to be homeless. Now there are people that run into hard financial times, but there's also programs out there and shelters. And I mean, we're talking about the people that are chronically on the streets day after day. And we know that there's something wrong with their brains. We know that. But you can't say that. That was politically incorrect. So then we said they were just simply unhoused. Unhoused. That's it. And then most people had no idea what the hell that even meant. So they would just drop the conversation. And so then when you started having people in tents and pooping on the streets, and that's what they would do, you know, in San Francisco. And they would just, I remember one time a couple years ago, Bridget and I were in Center City, went out to dinner, haven't done that in a while, and we're walking by City Hall. It was like 9:30 at night. And all of a sudden, all these people were just setting up their tents, just setting up tents and ready to go and camp out on the streets. And you had cities in America start to pass ordinances against this, against camping on city streets. And the left fought that and said it was racist and discriminatory and unfair. The streets belong to everybody. How can you tell somebody not to camp there? Well, easy. It's not the freaking woods. It's a city street. It's not for camping. Have people go to shelters and get the help they need. But you couldn't say that either. And you couldn't say that people were mentally ill. You just had to say that they were simply unhoused. Unhoused. I'm just unhoused. Like, I'm unclothed. It's just like I could put a house on. I could put a T-shirt on. You know what I mean? I'm unshoed. I'm not shoeless. I'm unshoed. I'm just unshoed. That's all. Are you shoeless or not? Imagine if they called him unshoed Joe Jackson instead of shoeless Joe Jackson. Like, it would have a totally different meaning, right? But that's what they do. They change speech. And then the speech police comes out and Nina Jankowicz comes out and the failed musical theater actress and does her bad singing and the disinformation police and everybody else. Anyway, I was making a point about South Park. So the same company that is getting rid of Colbert just spent $1.5 billion with a B for the rights to South Park. And for all the people that are out there screaming that this is an assault on free speech and that Stephen Colbert represents the end of the First Amendment and comedy, because unless the comedy is in line with what President Trump wants, the network's going to cancel you because they're afraid of the merger going through. Not only did South Park take shots at President Trump, they took shots at President Trump for going after 60 Minutes. in their latest episodes. When we get back, I'm going to play that audio for you because it's hysterical, and I want you to hear it. And it proves that Stephen Colbert is completely full of it. And it also backs up the theory that I had yesterday on the show, which is that he wants to get fired. He's trying to get fired. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be a martyr. But how could you argue that this guy's a martyr somehow? Actually, we can play this clip. We have time right now. This is South Park trolling NPR and 60 Minutes following Trump slashing funds to NPR and his lawsuit against CBS. Again, same network, paying $1.5 billion for this show, which is critical of President Trump. It's all they do is beat up Trump, which completely blows up Stephen Colbert's entire narrative and the narrative that everybody is trying to push around Stephen Colbert, that it's because he dared to take shots at the network or dared to take shots at Trump. In this clip, South Park not only takes shots at the parent company, they also take shots at Trump. And the parent company paid $1.5 billion for them. Point is, if you're good and you make money and you're successful, then they'll pay for you. If you cost the company $40 million a year like Stephen Colbert did, then they're going to fire you because you're not making them money. It's not that complicated. It really isn't. Cut 27.
You guys are not going to believe this. The president of the United States canceled NPR.
What's NPR?
What's NPR? The funniest show ever where all the lesbians and Jews complain about stuff? The f***ing president had it taken off the air. I mean, who the hell does this president think he is? The government can't cancel a show. I mean, what show are they going to cancel next? It was seriously the best show. It had, like, gay rappers from Mexico all sad because girls in Pakistan got stoned to death. And guess why they got stoned to death? Because they were raped. It was hilarious. Why would anyone cancel that?
60 Minutes now.
This is 60 Minutes. Oh, boy. Oh. The small town of South Park, Colorado is protesting against the president. The townspeople claim that the president, who is a great man.
A great man.
Great guy. We know he's probably watching. And we are just reporting on this town in Colorado that's being sued by the president, and they are fighting back.
And just to be clear, we don't agree with them.
No. We think these protesters are total but our own Jim Connor has more.
It's funny. It's very funny. And Matt says they're clearly mocking CBS for caving to Trump and for being afraid of him, are they not?
Yeah, they're doing a great job, which is why they're not going to get canceled. That's genuinely funny material.
Versus just going out there and going, F you, F you, F you, which is what Colbert did the other night.
That's boring. Nobody wants to see that.
Right, and not creative. Just going out there and saying to the parent company, F you, F you, F you, and doing a dance, that's not creative. Like a three-year-old could write that. What South Park just did there was very funny. They took a shot at the network. They took a shot at the president. They took shots at everybody in a humorous way that's called comedy, which is why the parent company, even though they're getting made fun of, is still paying $1.5 billion for them, even though they're also taking shots at President Trump, who theoretically now will shut down the merger if he's made fun of in any way, shape, or form, or is reported on negatively in any way, shape, or form. But that's not all they did. Oh, no. That's not all they did. They also went after President Trump about Jeffrey Epstein and even suggested that he was sleeping with Satan. Okay, so if you think that Stephen Colbert was fired because he dared to make a joke at the parent company or make jokes about Trump, and he's some sort of a martyr for comedy and a martyr for the First Amendment, the same show that the parent company just paid $1.5 billion for just mocked the president in their first episode last night. Last night, as in after Colbert was fired for sleeping with the devil and covering for Jeffrey Epstein. Cut 18.
Hey, what the f*** is this, better?
This is the painting you asked for, sir.
Why is my so small?
But that's the size it is in the photo.
Get this guy out of here. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue both of you. Nobody makes fun of me and gets away with it. Hey, Satan,
Don't want to right now.
What? Hey, relax. Come on, Satan. I've been working hard all day.
You haven't been working. You've been doing your stupid memes and just f***ing around.
Come here, gang. Ah, come on, Satan. You know you can't resist this.
I can't even see anything. It's so small.
Hey, I'll f***ing sue you.
God, f*** you.
Ah, come on, Satan. Don't be like that.
See? So, it's not like that show decided that they were going to kiss up to Trump. They're having him be Satan's lover and covering for Epstein, and they're taking shots at the parent company, and the parent company paid $1.5 billion for them. So Stephen Colbert, the point is, he's not good, he's not talented, he's not funny, and he wasn't making the network money. So as all these people like Jasmine Crockett and Abby Phillips on CNN and all these other people are running out there and suggesting that Stephen Colbert's firing is in some way, shape, or form the death of comedy, whether you like South Park or not, whether you are a fan of the show or not, it's obviously profitable enough and worth enough to that same company that just fired Colbert that they're willing to write a check for $1.5 billion for it. So they're doing something right. The Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey is also doing something right. And that is they're treating their guests like family. They take such great care of everybody who goes there. And whether it's the events that they plan or it is their beautiful rooms, you will love an escape to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. In fact, this September, they're having their September to Remember Fall Getaway Package where you save 10% and you get resort credits as well. You know, I love September in Cape May. The fall in Cape May in general is just absolutely gorgeous because they go all out for Halloween and, you know, the kids are back in school, the crowds are gone, you can get restaurant reservations very easily, although I highly recommend eating at Hemingway's for great food, amazing seafood, and fresh cuts of meat. And you'll love the fact that the Grand Hotel of Cape May has two pools, an outdoor heated pool, gigantic, and an indoor heated pool as well. So if the weather's not great, you still have a pool for the kids. But it's also a great weekend romantic getaway escape as well. What you got to do is go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com and mark your calendar because we'll be back there on August 15th. That's right, Friday, August 15th for our next live show. It'll be our last show of the summer. We won't be back there again until Halloween. So please come and join us. Mark your calendar now. Friday, August 15th from 3 to 7 p.m. Now, these live shows are great. They're in the fifth floor ballroom. And speaking of the ballroom, they have four of them. And they can make all your events come true, come to life and beautiful, from weddings to family reunions and bachelorette parties and corporate retreats. Just call my friend Caitlin. She can help you make lifetime memories. Those beachfront weddings. Wow, Caitlin was named the 2025 South Jersey Face of Weddings. She's a certified wedding planner. She's a terrific person, and they take such care with every detail of their events. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com and mark your calendar. You do not need a ticket to come to the show, but if you want to make a reservation for the weekend, I highly suggest you do it now because they will sell out for the whole month of August if they're not already sold out now. So go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, and I'll see you there August 15th.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
President Trump speaking right now at the Federal Reserve, the construction of their new massive headquarters. He's there with Senator Tim Scott saying we should have lower interest rates. Let's jump in and take a listen.
Well, I see a very luxurious situation taking place. Let's put it that way. And I was given a very nice tour by the head of construction. And, you know, look, if you look over here, they're trying to open up the basement. When you open up a basement, first of all, it's the worst space. Always a basement is the worst space in a building. And it's also the most expensive space to build. And especially here, because you have a water line, you know, they're going down into the water. So they have to build a reverse, what's called a reverse bathtub. The water has to be kept out. It's very expensive construction. So it would have been good if they didn't build it. Would have been good if they didn't do certain other things. If you look at the kind of protection in the hall, have you been able to get in the hall? You saw the protection of plywood. I mean, that was a lot of money just to protect it for a period of time. I would have done it very gingerly and easily and not have spent, you know, millions of dollars on protection. And there are things that could have been different. Look, there's always Monday morning quarterbacks. I don't want to be that. I want to help them get it finished. It's been going on for years. and I want to help him get it finished. And what we really want to do, and I think I can speak for Tim, and I think I can speak for the entire Senate, we can speak for everybody, frankly, is we want to see interest rates come down. Our country is booming, and the interest rates is a final little notch. And if you look at Europe, they've lowered 11 times in a short period of time. We've lowered zero. And, you know, they are competition, although we're in the process of probably making a very good deal with them, too. They want to make a deal very badly, very badly. So we're making a deal. We just completed our deal with Indonesia. We just completed our deal with the Philippines. We're making unbelievable deals. And the money is pouring in. We want to get interest rates down.
But on interest rates, at some point, does the level of interest rates now slow economic growth?
Yeah, it never helps it if it's high. It never helps it. Well, it's already as good as we're doing. Think of how well we'd be doing. We'd be like a rocket ship. As good as we're doing, we'd do better if we had lower interest rates. And we should. We're prime. Don't forget, without us, the whole world collapses. So we should have the lowest interest rate because, you know, you can talk about Switzerland. You can talk about wonderful countries, no debt, no. But without us, everything collapses. We should have the lowest interest rate. And if you took it down 3 points, not a little bit, but 3 points, if you got us down to one, we would save more than $1 trillion, basically with just a paper transfer. You wouldn't be cutting costs of anything. You wouldn't be building anything. Just a move of the hand saying we're going to lower interest rates. You would save $1 trillion a year. And there's nothing you can do to save that kind of money. Well, we had a little talk about it, and I thought it was a very productive talk. He'll be able to tell you at his next meeting, but I will say that he did say the country is doing really well. And the country is really doing well. Yeah, please, go ahead.
How would you describe your talk with him? Would you say that the energy was tense?
No, I didn't think it was tense. No, I thought we had a good meeting. No, there was no tension. There was no tension. I think he had more tension with my great senator to the right. He's a pretty tough cookie. He was, you might say.
Well, I mean, listen, bottom line is we had an honest, candid conversation about some of the overruns at this building. We had it in my banking committee, and he said we were wrong, and turns out we were right. Thank God President Trump and his team took enough time to dig into some of the details, and the details are clear. We need to get this project done. We would like to keep it where it is or a little lower, but at the end of the day, the point is that instead of talking about interest rates, instead of talking about first-time home buyers, instead of talking about the heat in our economy, that's a good thing. We're talking about an overrun on the Federal Reserve building as opposed to the Federal Reserve objective of lowering and keeping our economy full.
You know, as an example, they built parking spots under a building next door.
Really expensive.
That's very expensive. When you're starting to build parking lots, underground parking lots, that's a very expensive thing. A lot of people I know, they park their car and they walk a block or two blocks or something. But it is a very expensive thing. But that is what it is, and that's okay.
Is this project a fireable offense for Jerome Powell?
Look, I would love to see it completed. I don't want to put that in this category. It's a very complex thing that could have been made simple. I built a great hotel. And the great hotel that everybody in this group knows very well, it's called the Old Post Office. And it's a much bigger project than this. And I spent $200 million building it. And it was down, it was taken down to the steel, for the most part, taken down. You know, you've seen it go up. And I built it quickly, and I built it for $200 million. A much bigger job than this. I spent $200 million. And it's got marble bathrooms, the top fixtures, the best of everything, all brand new. So, you know, this is a very expensive job. I don't know. It got out of control. And that happens. That happens. It's a shame.
Are you negotiating on auto tariffs? Your auto tariffs?
No, I'm not negotiating on auto tariffs.
Does the EU looking at 15% like Japan?
Well, it depends. Japan, what Japan did is they brought down their tariffs. They gave us $550 billion because they didn't want to pay 20. They were 28%. And they gave us $550 billion up front. 100%, 500. We get 90, they get 10. 90%, they get 10. And there's no payment. It's not a loan or anything. It's a signing bonus, I call it. But they gave us $550 billion and took down the tariffs a little bit. And then they agreed to open their economy to everybody. This was not easy. This took, you know, a lot of people walked out of rooms and things. Sometimes they walked out of rooms, went back to Japan.
Right.
I said, where are they? They went back to Japan. And then they called and they said, can we make a deal? They came back a couple of times this happened. This was, as you know, it was over a period of months. And ultimately, they agreed to open their economy. Now, the opening of the economy is worth more than $550 billion, the payment that they made. It's worth more. So between that and the payment, we reduced it down to 15%. But they were at about 28%, and then they bought it down, basically.
But could other countries buy it down?
Yeah, I would let other countries buy it down, sure.
Mr. President, do you feel better or worse about your relationship with the Fed chairman after this meeting?
I feel good about it. I mean, look, I have one dispute, and the dispute is there could be some things with money and, you know, where it comes from, how it's come from, how it's printed, where it's printed, all of the standard things with the Fed. But I just want to see one thing happen. Very simple. Interest rates have to come down. If the interest rates don't come down, we're knocking it out of the park with high interest rates. If interest rates come down, then that final little element kicks in. That's housing. And the sad part is that people, wonderful young people, young couples starting off, they can't get a mortgage because the rates are too high. Tim knows that better than anybody, I think.
But Mr. President, if the rates are hurting families in the country, why let that keep going for another 8 months? Why not just fire them?
Because to do that is a big move, and I just don't think it's necessary. And I believe that he's going to do the right thing. I believe that the chairman is going to do the right thing. I mean, it may be a little too late, as the expression goes, but I believe he's going to do the right thing. The fact is, it's so big what's taking place in America, where the king of Saudi Arabia says you have the hottest country anywhere in the world, and I thought you were dead 1 year ago. I thought we were dead. I just left NATO, as you know. They're agreeing to pay 5%. We're not paying anything. We send them the equipment. They pay for 100% of everything now for the war, Ukraine. But I just left NATO, and every one of those leaders said, every country, they said, and very smart country, very successful countries, frankly. And every one of them said, you have the hottest country in the world. We did that over a period of a year, less than a year. I mean, if you think, I mean, less than, they say a year ago we were dead. And today, so I'm here 6 months, and we did it over, and we had the help of men like this and people like standing right behind me. They're
great. Leadership matters.
They're great professionals. They really are. They're great professionals. And in a short period of time, we made it the hottest country in the world. With all of that being said, we'd like to see. We can always do better, and we can do better if interest rates come down.
Right.
Good job you do. You do a nice job. I watch you a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mr. President. Do you have a name in mind to replace the chairman?
I do.
One person?
Two people. Maybe three.
Any clues?
I'd pick him, but I think he's not leaving the Senate.
No, sir, I'm not.
I'd pick Tim.
Thank you.
No, there's no pressure. No. We want to have, you know, his term comes up soon. I think he's going to do the right thing. Everybody knows what the right thing is. Even people that believed in, you know, the higher rates are all on board. They all want to see the interest rates come down. It's very important.
Mr. President, if he doesn't do the right thing, cut interest rates, as he said, will you then consider?
I don't think we're going to do that. I don't think so.
Investigate the newly declassified documents by Gabbard.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing. I have great respect for Tulsi and the documents they found on President Obama, frankly. It was an Obama thing, but it was the people that worked under him also, working with him. And no, it's a very, very serious thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President.
There's the president. He was speaking with Senator Tim Scott at the Federal Reserve, saying interest rates have to come down, and he's hopeful that Jerome Powell will do the right thing. The issue is this massive building they're building here, and you know, the president being a builder in his previous life has a lot of issues with how they're building this building and suggesting there's cost overruns and that they could have done this for, you know, a lot cheaper. So, but then the question became, well, is this something you'd fire Powell over, the fact that this building is way too expensive, way too big, and cost overruns and taking too long and everything else? And he said, no, look, I want to just help get this done. And he's hopeful that Powell does the right thing. Look, the Fed is meeting next week. And I was just out of curiosity reading about mortgage rates last night because I think I hear from people constantly all the time. People come up to me. I guess it's the nature of what I do. Some people don't talk to me because if they know who I am, they hate me. And that's okay. It's fine. And then some people like me and they come up and say hello. And when they do, and we get into conversations and certain topics come up, electricity rates being one of them and housing being the other. And not only are they very afraid of the affordable housing thing, and, you know, I didn't get a chance to chat with Chitterelli about that today, but we've talked about that in the past, and he'll be back on the show. I mean, he just sent me a nice note thanking me for having him, and he'll do his best to stop this if he becomes governor, the forced construction of the so-called, in air quotes, affordable housing. But people tell me all the time about the interest rates when it comes to mortgages because they want to either refinance because they bought a house when the rates were very high. A lot of people during COVID, when rates were low, remember, if you remember back in 2020, and COVID hits and all of a sudden all these people want to leave places like New York City and they all start buying in the burbs, and then housing prices skyrocket, but mortgage rates were still very low. And then as the rates went up and as inflation went up and everything else, suddenly those rates became very high. Mortgage rates became very high. Well, some people had to move for work, or some people, you know, like in our case, we had a child. I mean, we thought we were a four-person family. You know what I mean? You adopt two kids, you go through that process, you're pretty sure that you can control the number at that point. You know what I mean? But as the old saying goes, you plan, God laughs, and God laughed a wonderful, very blessed laugh in the name of baby Reagan, of course, the bio baby surprise. And so our house was too small. We needed a bigger house. So we had to buy a bigger house because, you know, what was good for a family of four was we were just busting out of the seams, quite frankly. And, you know, we looked at expanding and it just made more sense to buy a house. But not only was it hard to find a house, it was expensive, and it was also – but we were able to sell our old house for more money because, you know, we had done a lot of work to it. Thanks to Emmons, by the way. But the mortgage was twice the rate of what we had had. I think maybe three times of the rate we had. And it was a very tough decision to do because of that. But I'm not alone in that. There were other people that had that. Or people that got new jobs because of COVID, their jobs changed or whatever. Lifestyles change, things change. You need to buy a new house. For a lot of people, they were living in cities and they wanted to get the hell out of a city. And they had to spend a ton of money on what would have been a first-time house back in the day, you know, for a couple hundred grand. That house now, instead of going for $200,000, was going for $500,000. And so the mortgage rates are 7%, 8% in some cases for these first-time home buyers. It's ridiculous. And then you create a situation then where you have not enough supply, because then the people that have houses with low interest rates that don't have a reason to move, they're not going to go anywhere because they have a low mortgage rate. And because there's no inventory, even if they sold their house, they could sell their house at a premium, they have to buy, they have to live somewhere. They can't be unhoused. So then they have to buy something that's more expensive. So they're not going anywhere. So basically, a house goes on the market. In many cases, it's not even on the MLS, the multiple listing service. It's done in a private sale where the realtor knows people and who are looking and then calls them up and they go, I want it, you know, and they at 24 hours later, that house is gone above asking price. In some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars above asking price. It's crazy. But that has a trickle down effect then where you have people stuck in homes that they would love to upgrade. First-time home buyers that can't afford a home for the first time. So it was the American dream. You buy the starter home, you upgrade, you do well, you make a little money, you're successful, your family grows, you have more kids, you buy a bigger house. That's kind of that was the American dream. That's how we did it. I mean, you know, the first house Mama Zuli and Papa Zuli ever bought was a tiny little house. And then they bought a bigger house. And then when I went to college and my sister went off to college, they downsized. I mean, that's kind of how people do it in life, right? Now you have people that they bought a house in 2020. Now it's 5 years later. They have three kids. They're busting out of the seams and they're stuck. And when the president talks about this and he talks about interest rates, you're not just talking about interest rates in the sense of the credit card rates, which are also, of course, obviously very high. But it really is it's the mortgage thing. And if those rates come down, if the Fed lowers their rate, and the estimates are, or the analysts are suggesting they're not going to lower rates at the, I believe it's the July 27th meeting of the Fed. They think they're going to keep them the same. However, they predict maybe a quarter point cut in September. Well, you know, to President Trump's point, he'd like to see it come down by a full basis point, like a whole point. And he thinks that we're ready for that, and that would then make the economy just boom. I don't disagree with him. And is Jerome Powell an egomaniac who created a lot of this mess? Yes. Yes, he is. He absolutely is, because he and the monetary easing and all the other nonsense. I mean, the Fed has a big role to play and deserves a lot of the blame for all the inflation and everything else that we have in this country, that we had in this country, that's now coming down. The creature from Jekyll Island has way too much power, in my opinion. And the president, who is elected by the people and is a smart guy, is a business guy, knows what the hell he's doing. And, you know, Powell's got more power than him, which is crazy because we don't elect Jerome Powell. So Powell does not like Trump. That's very obvious. And he, you know, so, but I agree that if the interest rates come down, I think you're going to see a boom. I think the housing market, I think there's a lot of real estate agents that are probably listening to me right now that are shaking their heads. Yes. There's a lot of people who are living and want to buy a new house who are probably listening right now and shaking their head. Yes. I mean, typically people, when they listen to me, wind up nodding in agreement with a lot of these things that I'm saying. But this is what I'm talking about. So the president's right on that point. We'll talk about all these things as we continue along the show. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com. He has, for 12 years in a row, 12 consecutive years, been named a master of dental implants among his peers. Go see him today for that beautiful smile you deserve. VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Great guy, great friend, and the undisputed master of dental implants. So speaking of Emmons Roofing, this is a good time to tell you about them, because they did such great work on my old home. And so when we did sell it, we were able to get top dollar for it, and it was great. We replaced the roof. We renovated the kitchen, renovated the bathroom, put in new windows. And so that house sold very quickly. See, when you upgrade your home with Emmons, your home's not only going to go up in value, it's going to go up with peace of mind and protection as well. And 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. The finest quality craftsmanship, platinum contractor, made in the USA products, Anderson Windows, Owens Corning Shingle, lifetime warranty on the roof, design experts to help you renovate, remodel the kitchen, the bathroom in a day. I mean, just the best work. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And I'm great friends with the owners. They're good people, and they're going to make sure you're happy and that the project is done on time and on budget. Emmons is there for you every step of the way, just like they were there for me. And they are there for me, because we're doing new stuff in this house, too. We moved in. We had to replace 4 skylights that were leaking. Emmons did that for us. And we had to replace a basement door that was leaking and rotted. They replaced that for me, too. And more work on the way. So reach out to them today. I've trusted them in 2 different homes over the course of 12 years. And they've done a great job for me every time. And it really does increase your home's value. It really does make it so that your home not only looks better from the curb, is able to withstand the elements, and goes for top dollar, I believe. So 10% off for each and every one of my listeners, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.